You're glad you're here tonight. Can you say amen? Amen. Come on, hallelujah. For all that Jesus has done for us, the least we can be is excited for him. Now, folks, first, could I have two good-looking ushers up here, please? All right, ugly ones, it don't matter. Okay, number one, give this to the first person, and I want this to pass around to everybody. Not much preaching tonight, but I'm going to do a lot of sharing, okay? And I'm going to share this with you. If you know what this is, don't tell your neighbor, okay? Pass it around to everybody. When you come back, sir, will you take those smile faces and give everybody in this church, young, old, ugly, smart, no matter, each give them two of those smile faces, please. Okay? Go ahead, give that to somebody first, and you come back. Just pass it around to everybody. Open that box, sir. Okay? Yeah, take some smile faces here. One of you guys takes one side, you don't want to take the other side. Now, as I said, I'm not going to do much preaching, but I'm not only going to preach on the blood, but how to connect the blood. Amen. Doesn't do any good if it just sits there in the tube, doesn't it?
Right.
Okay. All right. That's if I can get my glasses out. Not funny to get old, you know. Okay. Now, okay. My name is Dick Sonier. You can call me anything you want. I prefer just Dick or Brother Dick if you have to, okay? I have a lot of other things that people call me, but obviously I can't repeat them in church, okay? But also, I don't like the word reverend. I've only used it two times, and on letters that I had to write for somebody who needed help in their court case, right? And then I figured it's going to influence the judge a lot more if I put Reverend Dick, right? Okay. So that being said, the first thing I want to share with you is I have a young lady that's an up-and-coming good soul winner for my home church in Ocala, Florida. Cassidy, will you just wave, please, okay? She has just started soul winning just a short while ago, a couple years or something like that. I have worked with her at different fairs. I invited six other people from my home church, but am I too loud? I'm good, okay? I've invited five or six other people, and like I told a pastor friend of mine, if I got one, I would be happy. But I was 99.9% sure Cassidy would be one, okay? She also visits my wife at the nursing home. We have a ministry at the church that she works in, and so I am very, very thankful for her, okay? And the reason I said my name is Dick Sonier. I'm also 32 years come January with Amazing Grace Mission. I'm also retired Navy, 22 years, okay? And this is kind of how I build myself. In the Navy, I was a welder. So I'm a welder by trade. I'm a preacher by conviction. But I'm a stand-up comic by desire. Okay. Now, I used to be able to preach messages all from memory. Anybody tell me what memory is? Yeah, okay, right. Now, another thing I want to share with you is why this fair here. You know what? Before we get into that, Brother John, would you stand and pray that the Holy Spirit is working on hearts and minds of souls out at the fair? And I'd like all you people to pray for that silently.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, asking indeed, Lord, that you empower your people with your spirit to share your truth, your message, the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, Lord, that you begin even now working in the hearts and lives of those that will hear that message.
Yea, Lord.
Your work and bring the increase.
And so that's the reason I'm here for this fair. I love you people to death. I love your pastor to death, Brother Jeff, Brother John. But if it wasn't for the fair, I'm sure that God would lead me someplace else. However, I'll do any fair that God wants me to do. But I have two that's my favorite. That's this one here, and the one in Lewisburg, West Virginia. And not because of the boots. The one in West Virginia is the worst boot I've ever done. And I've been with Amazing Grace 31 years, or 32 years come January, right? I have two rides on either side of me, so loud you can hardly hear yourself speak. This one here is not as bad, but it's not the best of conditions to talk to people. But what makes it so special to me is you people, Pastor Farley, Brother Jeff, and see so many people already that have signed up to work this fair. I have the best booth of 32 years of doing fairs in Beaumont, Texas. It's inside and it's double booth, two 10 by 20 booths. And it's got traffic on three sides. It's got the men and ladies room right next to us. And yet, West Virginia, we had 100 at least more professions of faith than the best booth. God is what does it all. And I'm asking you folks now, after you leave this building, and as the week wears on, that you'll be praying that souls get saved. Because see, I have knocked on doors from Bangor, Maine to Corpus Christi, Texas. And if God leads me to do that again, I will. I do fears any place that God would want me to do. But souls do not get saved starting at the door or at the fairs. They start on our knees. The day before, the week before, the month before, the year before. Yay! I pray for every single fair that I do. Starting from the day they close. When this fair closes, I will start praying again for next year. I pray for every single day, for every single pastor that comes out there at fairs. And so that's where it starts. I preached one time at Pensacola Christian College. And there was two or three young preacher boys that came out to do the fair. And when I worked my shift, I says, "How's it going?" He said, "Oh, we hand out a lot of tracts." I says, "Did you hook anybody? Did you witness any?" "Well, no, but we handed out a lot of tracts." I says, "How much did you pray from when I preached on Wednesday till Friday?" He says, "About 5 minutes." For 5 minutes, probably all you get to do is hand out tracts. Okay? So pray is the key. Okay? Now, besides that, okay, the little bit of preaching I will do is not only on the blood, but how we connect the blood. Okay? Also, I have only put my name, not that it means anything, behind two missionaries. One of them, my home church, his name is Brother Gleason. And the other one, Jeff Feringer. Is that how you pronounce that? Jeff Feringer. And I'll tell you why. Upmost in my mind is somebody that's a soul winner. But secondly, the way Brother Jeff Feringer treats his wife and his daughter. That is second in my chain of thoughts. Okay? I would not support a man or recommend him to anybody that doesn't treat his wife properly. Amen. When I was studying for the ministry, I was taught that you never, ever preach at somebody directly. And I have accomplished that all except one time. And this was in, I think, Mineola, Texas, by the way, come to think of it. Not sure now, it was so many years ago. And I was in his house, and his wife, and you would think She was a slave. And I preached about the next day. A man that doesn't treat his wife right doesn't belong in the pulpit. Okay? And now he's on his fourth wife. You can figure out what's going on, huh? So, that being said, okay, I want to share something else with you. And that's that, you didn't pass it around yet? Oh, it's been a while. Wow, you guys are efficient. Okay. Anybody know what that is? Okay. Another one? Another one? Okay. Yes, ma'am? Oh, you, sweetheart, you give me somebody else to preach next time. That is good, huh? Oh, wonderful. Listen, as I said, I'm a welder by trade, a preacher by conviction, but a stand-up comic by desire. No, that's not what it is. Sir, back there.
I had one to use for feeding a butt through.
Yes. I'll be 82 years old, or 81 years old, should I say, I think. Well, someplace around there. And I got the neuropathy in both hands, probably from being a welder and lots of other things, and I can no longer tie my buttons. So the reason I want to show this with you, if you're having trouble tying your buttons, you put this through the buttonhole, hook the button, and put it in. And, oh, by the way, has anybody here put the supplies in the prophet's chamber? No. Well, no, you can pass it on to whoever it is. Because they put my favorite shampoo. Okay? That's the only shampoo I use. If I use any other shampoo, I get split ends. Okay. But also, okay, I think I've been in this prophet chamber 4, 5, 6 times. I don't remember. One of the nicest ones I do. But as nicely as I could, I mentioned to Pastor Stewart to start with, then Pastor Folly, Brother Jeff, as nice as it is, there was never a full-length mirror, okay? And so I come in today, there's a full-length mirror in there. Because get this mirror up there. I can hardly stand on my tiptoes just to shave, right? So I get that full-length mirror. So that helps a lot, okay? So I thank you people very much for your prophet's chamber. Okay. Now, there's lots of things that I won't preach. Unless the pastor would ask me, because I really don't think it's any of my business. For example, I don't preach standards in a church. We have a man that came, like I said, I'm going to share with you more tonight than preaching. Okay? A man came to our church, and he didn't like the way some of our women were dressed. And he called them a nasty name. Now, he will never preach in our church again. Not because I say so, because my pastor said so. Standards is something that has to be within the church community, as the pastor is the head. Okay. For example, we had a woman in our church that got saved, and she come in, and she wasn't quite that modest. Okay? But to her, she was doing pretty good, because if you'd seen her on the street before that, you know, and so. You don't beat a woman like that over the head. You let her see all the godly women like you have in this church, and you let that take care of, okay? The other thing I don't preach on unless the pastor would ask me, and that's what kind of music you use. Okay? That's between you folks and the pastor, okay? Okay. Now, there's also another thing I will never preach on, and that's politics, okay? And the reason for that is that I'm not going to spend my time trying to fight the government. Yes, there's things the government does that I don't like. But you know what? I know a pastor that spent all this time fighting the government and lost his church, bigger than this church here, up in, I forget. Okay. I'm going to spend my time trying to see people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But see, the other reason I won't preach politics is that there's good and evil on both sides, isn't there? You really just can't pick out one side. I give you an example. If you've ever here checked the oil, you know, put the dipstick in a tractor, a car, a motorcycle, raise your hand if you've ever checked the oil on anything. See, that almost everybody has, even some of the ladies, okay? Well, you see, here's one of the problems in the government on both sides. The oil wells are in Louisiana, in Texas, California, and some other states. And nobody's checked the oil because all the dipsticks are in D.C. Here's something else I want to share, probably with only one person in this whole church. I don't know who that is. And that's that, got to be somebody as thick-headed as I am. See, I was born and brought up a Roman Catholic, didn't get saved until I was 35 years old, got called to preach the week I got saved, and I said, no, 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 forget it. Okay, I told my pastor, I said, now, I'm saved, I'm on the way to heaven, but don't ever ask me to tell anybody about Jesus. That's your job. That's what you get paid to do, which is not true, of course, but I'm a new Christian, okay? When I finally, God spoke to my heart 2 or 3 years later, I had a desire to go out there and see people saved. My pastor had taken me to hear this pastor preach, and he preached on soul winning, broke my heart. I cried all the way home on the bus, 35 years old. And it's never, ever left me. You see, here's the problem, my friends. It's not easy to start out soul winning. What happens is that Satan will throw everything in your way. And the example, like I say, there's some people that I've trained winning soul winning, and they've told me they're a little shy and all that, and I understand it, because I was going out with my church every Thursday night, and a man was training me, and he, after 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, I don't remember how long, this is 35 years ago, he says, you think you can try one now, Dick, all right? And I will never forget this till the day I die. Okay? I was in Providence, Rhode Island. I'm originally born in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. It was 859 Satin Avenue, okay? And so I knocked on the first door, and I says, we're from Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple, okay? And we send buses around here. We pick up children for Sunday school on Sunday. Do you have any children you would like? Oh, yes, yes, we just moved here. And she said, I said, well, now that we're here, now you see, now when I train people, I say the best question to ask is, are you 50, 75, 100% sure? But back then, I wasn't with Amazing Grace Mission, hadn't learned this. And I says, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? And she says, no. I says, could I show you from the Bible how to be 100% sure? She says, yes. Yes? She says, yes. I says, my friend here is going to show you. It doesn't start out like that. But here's the thing, my friends. It's just like weightlifting, like doing anything else, cooking. The more you do it, the more God will give you grace to get it done. Okay? And so, that being said, remember this now, especially if you're going to work the fair or any of your other soul-winning endeavors, okay? And I preach this all the time. Nothing works with everybody, but everything works with somebody. This is a spiritual work. You can't do it in the flesh. It has to be in the flesh. So if you're praying ahead of time, Lord, okay, prepare that heart and mind and soul, and you let the Holy Spirit lead. I'm going to give you an example of that. If I can't get back up, will you come get me? Okay. Let me show you a way that... hold up your smile face if you got in your hand. Okay? All right. Again, all right, you can put it down. Nothing works with everybody, but everything works with somebody. What I'm asking you to do is that sometime in the coming week, you give this smile face that I gave you to somebody who's lost. And see, not even asking you to witness, see what happens. And you may be very, very surprised. I did this at church in South Carolina 18 years ago. I preached Sunday morning, and that Sunday night, a lady come back, guess what, guess what? She's telling the pastor, all excited. Somebody read the tract while she was standing there and made a profession of faith. Okay? You never know how that's going to work. Here's what I do often. I'll be at a checkout at a grocery store or you know, a market, and as they're handing me the slip or whatever it is, I says, did anybody give you a smile today? And they either say yes or no. I says, did anybody ever give you one that you can hold? My friend, everybody takes that track. Now, whether they read it or not, I don't know. But you know, see, our job is not to save anybody. Our job is just to give the gospel. Okay? However, here's one that is so sweet. The young woman, about 23 years old. Oh, who was it that was talking about things that before church that God changes around? Maybe it was Cindy, okay? I do a fair in Beaumont, Texas. That year, there was a hurricane, and I-10 is underwater. I had to go 1,000 miles out of my way, north, west, south. And I wasn't too happy about that. But you know what? Then God opened my heart and my eyes. Look how many more gas stations, hotels, and restaurants I went to. And this is the sweet one, about halfway through it, 1,000 miles. I gave it to the girl at the hotel, and I says, anybody give you a smile today? He says, yes. You know, did anybody give you one you can hold? And I handed her that, and her eyes got about that big. Wow, she says, nobody ever gave me one I could hold before. You never know what God's going to do with a little track like that. Okay. And so, just remember, nothing works with everybody, but everything works with somebody. Okay. The thing I want to share with that one person, and that's that it took me a while before I started my day focused on God. I'm sure everybody has been through that certain section of their life, maybe even goes on some right now, it does with me, and that's that the whole thing in front of you seems so much so busy that you got so many things to do, and that you may even read a little bit, but you're really not focused on God. And so just let me share with you that one person who hasn't grasped how to focus on God when you first start in the morning, okay? And this is going to shock you, okay? This is before I read my Bible. This is before I've done my praying. In fact, I've got up in the middle of the night and read these verses because of some tragedy that was happening in my life. And I'll certainly tell you one of them. That's when my wife had a leg amputated, right? I'm sorry I wasn't a stronger Christian, but I'm sure you can understand that would shake you up a little bit. And this is how I focus on God. This is not my reading. That's not my Bible study. That's not my working on a sermon. This is just my focus on God for the day. And so I start by reading James 4:8. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Then I go down to Philippians 4:7. You see, 4:8, that's I need God's help on anything I do, even my focus on God. I need Him there. I need to draw unto God. I want Him to draw unto me. But then when I get down to Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. But then I drop down to 4:8. Finally, brethren, whichever things are true, whichever things are honest, whichever things are just, whichsoever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And then I jump back up to Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. But then I drop down to 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. And usually God will fill my mind with things that I need to straighten out. And then I drop down to 8:28. Because I know without a shadow of doubt that day, every day, some things will enter my life that I don't need in my life. I don't need to have the attitude I have. I don't have to not want to see them saved, or somebody that would be, well, let me give you an example. The thing that discourages me sometimes, I will tell somebody about how many professions of faith we have a fear, and they'll say, how many of those you think are really saved? So if I'm going to read this verse, I'm going to remember what it just says, okay? And we know, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. I know these things are going to enter my life. They're going to enter your life, my friends. Satan is out there. He is trying to destroy us. He's trying to destroy the church. And we need the peace of God in our heart, don't we? We need to be focused on God. Okay, focus now, focus. I'm not saying put away your Bible reading. I'm not saying you're studying. I love studying for a message. I've written a whole bunch of messages that I'll never preach because I enjoy searching and looking up those verses. And you know why I do all that, folks? You know why I read those, folks? You know why I want Jesus to draw into me? And that's one simple reason. Do you know why I do fears? One simple reason. Do you know why I witness the people at hotels and motels and gas stations? One reason. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Okay? Here's how I also start my day, my friends. Okay? And that's asking God to give me somebody to witness to. Okay? Lord, this day, give me somebody to witness to and to mold us to witness to Him. Listen, my friends. Everybody I know, every Christian I know, I'm sure, is the same thing. Sometimes we get so carried away with other things in our life, we don't find somebody to witness to. And you know, me included, you included, Brother John, and if Pastor Folly was here, Pastor Folly included, and every single one of us, we get drawn away. Now sometimes it's legitimate, I know that. Okay. For example, one of the favorite things I'd like to quote other times, and that's that, okay, always keep in mind what your goal is. And that's easy to say, but it's hard to remember your goals and drain the swamp when you're up your ears in alligators. Okay? There's going to be things in our life that tries to pull us away. Okay? And that's why sometimes before my feet even hit the ground, Lord, this day, give me somebody to witness to and the boldness to witness to him. See, here's the thing. The reason that all of us, Pastor John, me, everybody, don't find somebody to witness to is the same reason a crook doesn't find a cop. He's not looking for one. It's only when we're looking for one. It's only when we have God focused in our life and we're conscious that God wants us to witness. I am more ashamed of the times that I haven't witnessed than the times that I have witnessed. And so I'm just like everybody else, but I'm going to work on it and work on it and work on it, okay? And that's one way to focus on God. And there's a lot of many other ways. I'm sure you folks have some good ways to do it also, okay? Now, that being said, okay, the other thing I want to share with you, and that's about Brother Jeff Preringer, okay? As I told you, I love him to death. I don't know how many of you people know that, but he dropped down from doing a mission, a church someplace, and stopped in West Virginia with me to help me out of that fair over there, right? And that's when I seen, we went out to eat together, and I seen how well he treats his wife and his daughter, and I've already arranged for him to present his work at my home church whenever our mission conference comes up, okay? And you know what? You ladies are going to have to talk to his daughter, okay? Because she's going to be out there looking for a husband someday, just like her daddy. But you ladies need to tell her how much work Jeff's wife had to put in to get him to where he is. Okay. And I say that only half kiddingly. Okay. My wife, a wonderful, wonderful wife. She traveled with me for 25 years before she had the leg amputated. And again, just like myself, she didn't start out as a good soul winner. In fact, when I told her before that, she would witness to some girls with little girls in Sunday school class. But when she'd go out on the road, she froze like just about anybody would. I said, well, you can't do that in this house. With God, all things are possible. So I would sit on the couch with her, and I would witness to her, and she'd witness back to me. And she went from not, can't do that, to teaching ladies' Sunday school classes where I was preaching soul winning. Okay. She, the first year, but now she can't now. Her memory doesn't remember the verses as well. She's, 82, 83 years old. But the first year she was in the nursing home, she witnessed to more people in one day with one leg in one building than some people do in a lifetime. I love her to death, okay? And so my favorite statement is that, fellas, I'm the boss of my house, and I have Virginia's permission to say so. Okay? Very, very submissive woman. Well, except for one time. I was preaching in Niagara Falls, and she wouldn't get in the barrel. Okay. It's not always easy to witness, and sometimes we have to put ourselves out. And that's the reason I mentioned up north, at the beginning, that I'm 22 years retired. The Navy sent me down to Dominican Republic to do a welding job for 2 weeks. And hiring rank, and my job there was welding, but they were putting piers in to bring in, putting poles in to put a pier in to bring in American warships because they're having trouble with Haiti. And we had a pile driver. And these lower rank guys had to climb up on top of that pile driver and still shaking and greasy and noisy and take the choke off the pile. Everybody in the unit came down with Montezuma's Revenge. And he had just gotten over it, and he was still sick. And he'd already been up there twice. And you could see the look on his face when it was his turn to go up. And I said, I'll take his place. I didn't have to, my friends. In fact, about three steps up, I said, Lord, why didn't you let me do this? And, of course, I'm not afraid of heights, but it's still a little slippery, right? And I took the choker off. We finished that job, went back to the barracks, and he says, you're a preacher, aren't you? I says, yes, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I went through the plan of salvation. Death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he made a profession of faith. Okay? The funny part about it, he says, hey, when you get back to the States, I'm getting married in 2 weeks. He says, I want you to perform the marriage. You tell your wife, your fiance, if she's still interested, give me a call, right? But I had to put myself out. Lowe's, I can't remember what city, it's in someplace in Texas. Virginia and I are coming out. She's still on her scooter. And there's this lady trying to get a big air conditioner in her trunk. Store help was helping her. It wouldn't fit in the trunk. Tried to get in the side door. Wouldn't fit in the side door. Didn't even try the front door, right? And all of a sudden, I says, I'll deliver it for you. I says, Lord, don't let me say things like that. And so she says, well, it's 25 miles away. I says, that's okay. Okay. I had another problem. I can't get the air conditioner back of my truck and her scooter. So I says, Virginia, would you go back in the store and just look around until I come back delivering the air conditioner? And she got a big smile on her face, says, yeah, give me a credit card. See what happens, Lord? I delivered that air conditioner. You think that lady would not let me? Oh, and she had said, my mother's sick, and she it's hot in the house, and it's making it worse. I thank you so much. You think that lady would not let me witness to her, huh? Absolutely, huh? Listen, God will open the doors if we're praying, if we focus on God for the day, if we put ourselves out, God will give us somebody to witness to, okay? Now, not always, okay? Sometimes I wonder why I can't witness, but this is something else that's hard for me to understand, but it's scriptural. Sometimes the only reason we're witnessing is so that that person doesn't have an argument when he gets to the judgment. Says, well, nobody ever showed me. Nobody ever offered to show me. No, sir. No, ma'am. Yes. I offered to show you. You weren't there. But now let's get back to the only part of preaching that I will do tonight. It'll be very quick. Okay? Okay? I brought my lunch today because I like to eat while I'm preaching. No, I'm only kidding. Okay, let me find this verse here. Isn't that right? See? This is what happens when I don't make my notes properly. Somebody give me the verse about the power of the blood. Okay. All right. For the lack of my memory, okay? There's power in the blood. But you know what? Unless you plug that power into something, it's not going to do any good. Okay? Brother John, if I plug this in over here Will you come and hold these two wires? I don't think so, huh? They want to see you light up.
Yeah.
Okay. But here's the thing. It's the same thing. If God gives you anything today from my sharing, or if Pastor preaches something that reaches your heart, or even if you're reading your own Bible and God opens up to you something, what are you going to do what God is giving you? I've seen time after time, even in my own life, we're sitting here in the pew and God is talking to us, and you know what? We walk out of the church and that's where that thing stays. Okay? That's where that stays. Okay? If we don't plug it into our fuse box, okay, it's not going to work. It's not going to have any effect. And that is a hard job, just like everything else about witnessing and just living life in general. Okay? It is work. Oh, but the rewards are out of this world. You see, my friends, there are some people that I know that for some reason they can't connect all the wires in their life. I'm going to give you a couple examples and we're going to close with this. I don't usually preach very long. Most times I'm not allowed to preach very long, and that's okay with me. Okay? So here's two examples of people that have short circuits in their fuse box. And the first one, I was doing a fair with him. He was just a visitor. And he was saying to people, give me a half hour to 45 minutes and I'll show you how to get to heaven. Doesn't take 45 minutes to show people the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But see, his attitude was, hey, I'm the preacher here. I'm the smart one. I'm going to show you dumb people something. No, no, no. You stay on the mode of humility. And I said to him, says, you know, you'd do a lot better if you'd say, listen, will you do me a favor and just give me a few minutes of your time and let me show you what the Bible says about going to heaven? Not him, the Bible. It's scripture that saves, not the human being reading those verses. And he says, well, I don't want to lie to him. I says, well, certainly it doesn't take you 45 minutes. He says, I have these people's destiny in my hands. No, my friend, he doesn't have their destiny in his hands. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit has that. All he needs to do is give him the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's sitting on a high horse. I don't know his name. I wouldn't tell you if it had, okay? But this next one absolutely floors me. I'm doing the Tampa Fair. And there's where I'm staying, there's a man going to Bible college. And he invited me over to his house. Because he said, I want to show you a picture. He says, and we'll have supper ready for you. Well, I'm not going to turn down a supper to start with, right? And then we ate, and we talked about the fair ministry. And then he said, I wanted you to come to my church next year. I said, well, you have the pastor call me. Okay. But he said, now I want to show you this picture. And he shows me this picture. It's this woman weeping. Weeping. And I says, what's that all about? He says, me and some other college students went to a rally of homosexuals. And she was very angry with us because she thought we were there to condemn her and tell her she's going to hell. But we were there to tell her we loved her. We loved her. I said, did you witness to her? No, but she knew we loved her. So she didn't make a profession of faith. She didn't. No, but you know, we loved her. Oh, is that going to be wonderful, huh? Pastor John, imagine that. She'll be in hell and burning and fire and brimstone. And she's going to say, but they loved me. Oh, my folks, get your fuse box connected. Death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever verses you want to use. Okay? That's what we're here for. Dear Heavenly Father, Brother John, I brought this quick little message to the best of my ability. I pray, dear God, that you would work on every single heart here, starting with my own, okay? I pray, dear God, my folks, if God has connected his wires to your heart tonight, come to this old-fashioned altar. Tell God you're going to start day by focusing on him. Tell God you're going to ask him to give you somebody that to witness to and the boldness to witness to him. And I pray, dear God, that you continue to work in this wonderful, wonderful church. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Pastor.
I'm going to ask Amanda to come up and just give us some time, just a few minutes, to reflect on what Brother Dick was sharing with us. The most profound and important and life-changing message in all of human history is not complicated. It's not hard to understand. It's not hard to communicate. It's very simple. It's that Jesus died for us so that we could live. And through our faith in Christ, we can appropriate that salvation. It's as simple as that. And as Brother Dick said, there's a number of verses in the Bible that we could use to communicate that. Think about how it was communicated to you, okay? And just give yourself over to the importance of that message. Miss Amanda's going to play, and we're going to reflect, and I'd encourage you to think about that. I don't think there's, well, if you are here this evening and you have not trusted Jesus as your Savior based on his death on the cross in your place, his burial and his resurrection, then I encourage you not to leave here this evening without asking Jesus to save you so that your soul is not on the road to heaven, but on the way, on the road to hell, but on your way to heaven as God's child this evening. If you are saved this evening, you know what I'm talking about. And just reflect on the importance of that in your life and the need of so many people that are out there still in darkness. Everyone in here has got someone in their life who isn't saved. I pray you'd reflect on that. And just the importance of prayer for that person's soul. And there are millions, if not billions, of people around this world who are in that same predicament. And they don't have to be. God's will is that everyone would be saved. They need to make that choice. And by the conviction of His Spirit, they will understand that. But God says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so, even in something this small, right, a person can have all the information that they need, the truth, the light that they need to trust Jesus. You just take this light and share it with those that are in darkness. Amen? Well, thank you, Brother Dick, for that. I want to encourage folks, remember two things, one of which the SOS sign-up sheet out there for Vicki Neville and the family. Continue to pray for them. And the other thing is that the Pig on the Pond sign-up sheet is out there. It starts Friday. It starts Friday. You can see the days and the shifts that are out there. You can see the needs that are there. And as Brother Dick said, we're not in this alone. You know that you're a Christian this evening. There's nothing that you do where you are alone in this life, because God is always with you. Amen. And God will never have you do anything that He doesn't give you the power to do. Okay? The power in the words in this booklet is the power of God. Amen. And He will give the increase. He's just looking for some faithful souls to sow the seeds. Sign up. You're not doing it alone because God is with you. You're not doing it alone because God's also giving you a church family to labor alongside for His glory. And so Brother Dick will be there, and the Farringers will be there, of course. But look at the sign-up sheet. There's a number of people already on there that will also be there as well. And there's great comfort in that, because we're not alone in this battle, are we? Let's pray as we're dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for our time together this evening. I thank You for Brother Dick and his faithfulness and his testimony of taking Your truth, Your light, into this dark world. And asking You, Lord, each and every day to give him that opportunity to share the truth of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus with anybody, Lord, that You put in his path. May we do the same. May we allow ourselves, Lord, to be used of You in this way, for it is a blessing to do so, and it glorifies You in doing so. So let it be so, as we submit our will to Yours, in Jesus' mighty and holy name, amen.